Thanks. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Glad you came. Always impresses me when people show up somewhere on a Saturday. I know schedules are intense, and sometimes Saturday's the time to get things done and stuff, so it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. I tell people when they schedule, I say, you're not going to wear me out. Schedule as much as you want, because the more you do, somebody can attend something. It's not that you have to come to everything, but you might get out to get to something. Amen? So I'm just glad you're here. He's got a lot stirring in me there with a couple of things. Let me make something clear. That neck minister thing. I have a CPA in my life. He has recently passed. He was elderly even when he became my CPA. But he was at a meeting when I first started traveling. I pastored for years with the church. And I felt change in my life. And I started to do believer meetings around our area. We never took offerings. We just poured this message out into people. And the Lord really empowered those meetings. There'd be 10, 12 congregations in place. There'd be 5, 6 pastors. I mean, that's a neat thing. And we were just teaching people why he came and empowering them and getting them to pray for one another. And in that process, people started to feel like they wanted to bless me and sow into my life. And I was like, no, look, we're just, man. And at the time, I was thinking I was going to actually get a job. I always actually liked working secular. I liked when I was saved and working around people. I always thought that was cool. I used to get a lot of prayer requests, pray that I get a new job, especially a Christian atmosphere. And I'm thinking, nah, you stick me in the middle of darkness. That's where I'm going to die. I just like that. I was pastoring for 2 years, and I stepped down from my responsibilities and gave back my salary and went back into a warehouse just to get around folks. Because I was struggling a little at the time. It was my decision. The Lord gave me grace to do it. I was struggling with ministry. Church felt like a business on certain ends, and I was struggling. It was just my view. There was nothing wrong going on. It was just me working out some things, and I just felt like some things weren't right. And it was easier for me to just go work a job. It was like everything was Christian. The backslidden people said amen, brother. And it was just everything around me in the office was Christian. Everything. And I thought, I just want to go to work. And people would just curse and be real. And I could be mean. And, yeah. And it was awesome. I went to work. I didn't even realize until I got my first paycheck, I had $900 less cash on my paycheck for the month than I had if I would have been pastoring. I never even thought about that. I just left and went to work. I didn't do the math. It's just all good. Jesus did so much in that workplace, I thought, this is just where I belong. I remember the Lord telling me to go back to the office 6 months in, and I ignored him and acted like I didn't hear him. And that's not cool, because you know you heard him. And your conscience doesn't even quit, you know. It's like, oh, every day I'm trying to act like I didn't hear the Lord. And I was torturing myself. And it was like, he's so gracious. He lets a whole week go by, and he waits till I'm at work in the middle of the aisle. And he says, hey, I really do want you back in the office. I'm like, I'm sitting there crying like a baby. I'm like, but Lord, I don't understand some things about ministry. I just don't get ministry. I don't understand. I feel comfortable here. And I'm trying to reason with him. Like, this is where I flourish, you know. I'm like, I didn't understand. He said, damn, ministry is simple. It's really, really simple. I'm like, really? He said, yeah, it's just loving people. He said, just love people. I said, I can do that. I can do that. So I went back to the office and did what I was called to do for a while. Then I transitioned. So the CPA comes up to me. We were doing an outside meeting. It was really cool. This lady had radiation treatments or something on her brain area, and it touched her optic nerve. It touched something over here on this eye. It's really something to look at. Like, she'd talk and look around the room, but this eye never moved. This one moved. This eye just stuck. And she couldn't see. She could just see shadows, and it never moved. So I'm looking at you, and then I'd look over there, and that eye just stayed where it was. It's just different. So we got to praying for her at the end, and it was phenomenal because her girlfriends were there, and her eye just started to move. And she kept saying, I can see, I can see. It was so amazing. Real pure Jesus. There was a lot of cool things happening. So the CPA comes up to me and he said, this is Jesus. I said, I think it is. I really do. Some people sit trying to figure out, is this the Lord? I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is Jesus. You know, the first person I ever prayed for at work, a guy came running up to me and he said, "You better be careful with this healing stuff. You know the devil can heal." I said, "I'm three, four months old in the Lord." I'm like, "Friend," I was 3 months saved. I said, "Friend, if I'm preaching and praying in the name," I'm 3 months saved and knew this. "If I'm preaching and praying in the name of Jesus, and the devil's moving any other way than out of here, we've got a problem. We ought to pack it up and go home. That's just fear. And you need to stop." That's what I told him. And he was a Christian for years, but he never pursued anything in God. He just did church services and never stepped out to love people, to believe God. He just was doing the doctrine things, going to church. So as soon as God showed up and healed somebody, he ran in sincerity to rescue me in fear that, "Look, you better back off of this. You know the devil can heal." And I'm like, I'm 3 months saved, and I'm like, that makes no sense. I'm praying with sincerity in the name of Jesus. I got no string attached to my life. I'm not trying to be in a spotlight. I'm not looking for advertisement. I'm just at work, working a job, 3 months saved. I'm reading scripture. It's alive in my heart. I asked to pray for this man. He has no disc in his back. They're going to do an emergency fusion because he's bone on bone in his vertebrae. They said a hard break in the car could shift that thing and touch his spinal cord. He could actually be paralyzed. He had nothing there to protect or cushion his vertebrae. So they were going to freeze it, fuse it so it never moved. And he's hurting and he's on disability. And they looked at these pictures and they were in a hurry. They were like, it was one of those liability medical things. They're like, "How didn't we see this? This is worse than we thought. He has no disc between the vertebrae." So he looked nervous because he gets a phone call that he's going for an emergency surgery to get his back fused. Just out on the spur of the moment. No preparation. No psychological. Just, you're going to get a fusion. And they were going to have somebody drive in. And they shared it with him. And he looked nervous. And he was walking. And he was hurting his normal posture. And I stopped him. And I said, "What's going on? I'm 3 months saved. What's going on?" He told me the story. I said, "Man, did anybody ever pray for you?" He's so innocent. And he said, "I guess my mom prays for me." And I said, "Oh, man. No, I mean, like, did anybody ever pray for your back?" And he said, "No." I said, "Can I pray?" He said, "That's fine if you pray." And he started to walk away. And I said, no, I want to pray. He said, "You mean here? Like here?" And I'm like, "Yeah. Like, it's okay." Told him I'm not going to do anything strange. I just believe in some things that I'm reading in my Bible. I quoted a couple different scriptures that were coming alive in my heart at 3 months old. I prayed. It was really simple, I'm sure. I was 3 months saved. That's pretty good not to get over-involved. You probably have no ability to create a disc. You're probably pretty powerless. Believing would be good. Christ in you would really help. So I probably prayed the most lame prayer to him. You know, I probably quoted a scripture or two and back be whole and looked at him and smiled and said, "Thanks." And he probably looked at me like, "Is that it?" And that's all I got and all I know. I can't give you anything else. And he laughed and he was still hobbling. But it was amazing. They ran all these new pictures because they wanted to make sure they knew what they were doing with the surgery. So they did all this updated data and boom. And now there's controversy. He's in the waiting area, pre-stage stuff. And he's like, "What's going on?" He asked his doctor, "Is there a problem?" He said, "Yes, there's a problem." He said, "It's a good one, but it's a problem." They had every picture from before on this light board. And they took my buddy over to this light board and they explained the problem. They said, "We have every picture that we've taken of you and every picture on every angle. You have no disc. We just took all these new pictures." Mind you, he was hurting right up until they took these pictures. Couldn't walk straight. To your eye, it looked like nothing changed. To his body, nothing changed. To me, hey, I did my best. I prayed. I did what I was supposed to. Somewhere between all that, in that time frame, they took them pictures. He's got a perfect disc on every picture. When he gets out of the chair, after looking at the stuff, he has no pain. He comes right back to work, never had surgery. He's the kind of guy, today, if you're in the grocery line, waiting to
we do.
And I'm talking to you about Jesus. Why? Jesus is real. Came in safety, changed and healed him. He wasn't a Christian up until then. He became an elder in the church, and to this day, living Jesus. Never had a back surgery. Isn't that sweet? I'm 22 years saved. Yesterday was my birthday. 22 years saved. Yesterday. And that happened when I was 3 months old. That's a long ago story. And here he is living Jesus. The last I seen him, he was very alive. Amen? I just thought I'd tell you that because I just made mention of it. But the CPA comes up in this service. This is Jesus. He said, the Lord's showing me that a lot's going to happen with you and transitioning with you and people. You just need a CPA right now. You need to get some things set up and established because you got finances that people want to bless you. They're just that people are kind of geared to, like, if they see something, they feel it's sincere, they want to bless it, so into it. It's not that I ask for anything. You'll never find on an internet or any website where I'm asking you to partner with me. I've never asked for a penny. I didn't ask him for a thing. I bought my own plane ticket to come here. I've done it for 10 years. I get my own tickets. I pay my expenses because I feel like it's more kingdom. I'm not coming here for an honorarium, guys. This isn't a business deal. This is Jesus. It's kingdom and we're family. So Jesus can get my plane ticket. He'll get me here if he wants me here. It doesn't fall on people ever for 10 years. And it's cool. So if you ever see anything out there on the internet, people said, man, there's some people doing some scam stuff. They had your name and said you were asking for money to go to Africa or something. I said, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? And people are on that stuff. I'm a zero internet guy, so I don't even own a computer. So they're telling me this stuff goes on. So if you ever see me out there asking for money, don't give no money. Because it's not me. I'm just telling them. Don't give no money to Dan Moore, because it's not me. All right. So he said, I need to get this. So he called me. He said, I said, so what's that consist of? He said, I want to be your CPA. I want to help you. I want to get things set up for you. And I said, yeah, but what's that entail? Like, what's it going to cost? He said, it's not going to cost you a thing. He said, it's my heart to do it for you. The Lord said, I have the giftings, the knowledge. You don't have it at all in this arena. I said, you're right. You heard him right. He said, so you need help? Are you going to let me help you? I said, you mean you just want to help me? He said, yeah, this is God. I want to get behind it. I want to sow into it. I want to empower it. I said, okay, so here's my CPA until he passed just 2 years ago. And the CPA that bought him out, he said, I'll let you buy out this business for under one condition. You continue to bless this man. And you do everything for him at no cost in just a way to promote the kingdom and just sow into his life. And the guy agreed. This year I just released him from that. I said, listen, I want to bless you and compensate you. John knew my heart. You just took his business. I know you feel like you got on this word, but I'm the one releasing you. And I want to start blessing you for your service. But John called me. So he was my CPA from 2006 till just a couple years ago. Never charged me a penny. That's amazing. Did my year end, my fiscal year, my personal taxes. So he calls me when he's doing the application and he says, Dan, you're going to need a name for, like, yourself so the IRS can locate you. Because I'm not a ministry-minded guy. I don't wake up thinking ministry. I'm just in love with Jesus and he lives in me and I live my life in him. That's it. People just call me and ask me to come to their churches. But everybody thinks ministry, so we think that means something. Building, offices, staff, prayer teams, all kinds of stuff. And he just told me to love people. So I'm not building a kingdom, I'm ministering one that's here. So I don't have a vision to build anything, just to minister what's here. That's my vision, personally. I'm not against people that my buddy Todd has a vision to build all kinds of stuff and do stuff and touch the whole world, and that's the grace of his life, and go for it, Todd. I'm proud of him. I'm in a different grace, so I weigh one over the other. But he said, you're going to need a name for your ministry. Well, that's trouble, because I'm not even thinking ministry. I don't want a name. He said, like Dan Moeller Ministries. I figured that's probably not going to work for me. And all of a sudden it hit me. I said, I got it. Neck Ministry. She said, oh, that's cool. Like Cast the Net. And I said, no, N-E-C-K, neck. He said, neck? I said, yeah, it's something the Lord showed me a long time ago. That's what it needs to be. If there's going to be a name, it has to be Neck Ministry. She said, he didn't catch it. He said, okay, I guess it'll work for now. We can get something later. I said, there is no later. It's Neck Ministries. Here's what happened to me. I was 9 months saved. I'm walking in my house reading my Bible. He's real to me. The Lord's real, people. Young people, please listen. He's not a doctrine. Don't let your hearts get hard. Don't presume on something you don't understand. He's not way out there. He wants to live in you and change your life forever. He wants to be close to you and be with you. He wants you to commune with Him and believe He's there, and He reveals Himself to you. Like, I don't try to believe in the Lord. He is real. Like, He's the Lord. I don't think, oh, I believe He loves me. Are you kidding? He loves me. Like, my life is so worth living. It is not a grind. It is not an accident. It is calculated, and it's on time. And I'm just pumped. And life can't tone that down. Circumstances have no power. Your attitude can't change that. You hear what I'm saying? My own wife can't change that. She can only cheer it on. She knows by now. You can't stop. This train is rolling. I understand why I'm alive. And I know why I woke up this morning. And it's not to survive. I didn't wake up to make it. I already made it. I already won. You got to understand, Christians have already won. You're not a Christian for better circumstances. You're a Christian to shine. You're not a Christian for better circumstances. You're a Christian to shine. Mercy wakes us up every day to give us one more day to be like Him. Not to make it. You already did. I'm never going to die. I'm forgiven for everything I've ever done outside of Him. He sees me for righteousness. He loves me. That'll never change. He's not going to call my name out a millennium from now and say, hey, changed my mind, not sure how you got here. I'm in. And I'm loved by God. Yes. And He has moved inside of me. Hallelujah. And He ain't going nowhere. And I woke up not to be loved by you. Not to be accepted by you. I woke up to be like Him.
Yeah.
That changes my relationship with you.
Yes.
Now you can't even break my heart. There's no way you could discourage me. You can't tone this down. All you can do is cheer me on. All I can do is love you. Okay?
Hey.
So you don't even have to like me. I can love you. I might not even have access to you to communicate with you, but I can love you. If I perceive something and I perceive it and I go alone and pray, it'll be because you're valuable and you're worth that time and your life's more than you even understand. And all of a sudden, Jesus, forgive them, they know not what they do, is prevalent in my motive and my prayer. And heaven hears me when I pray. Mm-hmm. And then Holy Spirit comes and gets you in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah? Why? Because it's all fueled by love. It's not fueled by anger and frustration and whatever, and I'm mad and I don't feel and I don't know. Come on. Nobody in this room ever lived a moment that way and can tell me it's awesome. It's self-centered and it's lonely. And it's miserable. And it's non-productive. And it's fruitless. I'm not being mean. I'm being relatable. You can't tell me, one person in this room can't honestly tell me that you copped an attitude and lived frustrated for a season and can tell me it was fun. It is not who you're created to be. That's why it's so miserable. The need to be right, zero. Throw it out the window. The need to be like Him, pick it up and run well. The only reason we're alive, if you read the Bible, is to be found in His image. Because that's what He made us for. His image. Let us make man in our image. That image was lost through sin and separation from God. So Jesus came as a man, captain of our salvation, fulfilled everything man failed, tempted at every point, yet without sin, flawless, fulfilled the law of righteousness. God defeated the devil as a man. Jesus fulfilled the law of righteousness as a man, and now we follow Him.
Yeah.
The blood of a man on the mercy seat in heaven. Not the blood of God, the blood of a man. One mediator between God and man. The man. The man. Oh. Jesus. It means something. Don't turn this into an Easter story. Don't get lulled asleep by religion. It's personal and it's impacting. And if your view of Christianity isn't stirring your heart and impacting, it's not a healthy view. It's not the true view. Because it's called to draw you in and transform your life and make your life so worth living. Because it gets your eyes off yourself. And get your eyes on Him and His kingdom and others. Amen. Living for yourself is the loneliest place you'll ever camp. Because then everybody owes you something. People can break your heart. You're only as good as they're doing you. And you make them the excuse for where you're at or where you're not. And it's always everybody else's fault. And there's no responsibility for your life. And you always have an excuse and you stay in the flesh and non-productive. That's a bummer. I will never live that way again. 22 years, I don't even know how to think that way. Because the gospel changed me. Yay. So I get flaky talking about it because it's so real to me. I just feel like, man. So here's where Neck Ministries came from. You started this. I'm walking in my living room, dining room, little archway thing, real modest home. I've lived in the same home for 30 years. Not looking for a bigger home. Just want to know Jesus more. My home's my home. It's good. I'm not against you if you have a bigger home. Just not driven by stuff. I'm content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, I paid my house off when I was 42. I was a good steward of my finances. And I just thought, you know what? We're just going to call this home. She said, I think we ought to just stay. So we're still there. Mm-hmm. I'm in between the archway. And I'm walking. And I turn. I'll never forget. I'm the only one in the house, but I'm talking out loud. Why? He's with me. He's in me. So I'm either out of my mind and need to get a hobby. Or he's real. Amen. See, some of us haven't, in this room even, not being mean, haven't taken the time to pursue him and seek him and know him. And if not, you're presumptuous if you assume a belief. Because you don't really know. You haven't really sought him. If you seek him, you what?
Find him.
Probably ought to spend a little time seeking. Probably ought to get alone. Tell him you want to know him. Yield yourself to him and reveal himself to you. Mm-hmm. Actually start believing he loves you through the cross. And his blood is speaking back to you. You're not mad at me. You're actually for me. And you want to empower me. You want to change me. And I'm here. I'm willing to be transformed. God, I want to know you. You start talking like that to the Lord when nobody's looking.
Oh.
Bring change to your life and knowing to your heart. That sure beats just crying because you're in trouble. God, help, please. That's some of the only level of prayer we know. Just trouble-driven prayer. Crisis-driven prayer. Just praying for stuff, praying for needs, praying for people. There's a place for all that prayer. But man, there's a place for knowing him. And I've learned as a pastor for 22 years, a whole high percentage of people have never really sought to know him. They just needed him to change things in their life for their sake. Heal. Change the circumstance, get me a job, keep me from getting laid off, protect my children. That's what we reduce him to. A genie in a bottle, a busboy, a table waiter, rather than a father. And because we have a self-serving, beneficial mentality of the gospel, there's actually Christians that live discouraged and believe they have the right to be. Because they're thinking for themselves. And they're weighing themselves based on their trial. Not based on Christ in them. You with me? Come on, it's important stuff. It will keep you so solid. Keep you so solid. What if the enemy really is seeking whom he may devour? What if he's looking for flaws and weaknesses? What if the devil in himself doesn't believe you love God? You just need God. And he's out to prove that through circumstances. What if he just presses and touches and squeezes to get a wah out of you? And he says, oh, they don't even know why he's in them. He's no threat to me. He don't even know why he's saved. He thinks he's saved for benefit.
Can somebody please pray for me?
When you squeeze an orange, what do you get? It'd be pretty weird if it was apple.
Yeah.
Right? Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Boy, that ought to be weird. Ought to be weird to squeeze a Christian and get something other than Christ. Wonder if the devil's learned just to squeeze a precious thing like this, a little bit in your circumstances, to see if she really gets it. To see if she'll freak out and respond or react, or if she'll rise up in truth in Christ and not take it personal, not take account of something wrong, and not wear the identity of what people say, and all of a sudden wear Christ and get clothed in him. And he presses and he squeezes and he's trying to break her, but the whole time he's running the risk of making her, because she's a woman of faith. She's a woman of God, and she's not moved by these things, because she's not alive for things to go well. She's alive to be like him.
Yeah. Jesus.
Wonderful. Yeah? I just promise you, that sure beats frustration, discouragement, bewilderment, despair. Amen. I've weighed the two. One doesn't produce anything. The other produces Him. You look at what your life's producing, the mentality you live by, the why behind your life, your reason for being. If you see what it's producing, you'll have a good barometer to see if your heart's on track. You with me? I'm trying to get this story and I keep preaching. I was reading with the eye and the hand and the foot. We all have need of each other. And some of the lesser seemingly parts carry greater honor because they're very needful. It's amazing. Like, you know, people think, my big toe is so ugly. Look at the nail on it. Can you start to curve and get off there? People just think their big toes are gross sometimes, right? And they just think, I don't like my big toe. You cut that thing off and tell me it wasn't needful. You cut your big toe. Now, don't cut your big toe. Don't say Dan told me to cut his big toe. Oh, stop. What I'm saying is, if that thing gets missing, you'll know how much you were using it. Because it changes things if you don't have a big toe. But that thing sure don't look pretty to some people. You've got to paint a little smiley face on that. They turn it into emoji. Emoji big toe. Paint that thing, man. So I'm getting this, and I'm realizing, man, together we make a full expression of who He is, and everybody has a need of each other in Him, and this is awesome. We lock arms, and we grow up in the fullness of God. This is awesome. And I'm standing there, and I got my Bible open, and I said, Lord, I said, I don't even know if this is a fair question. I said, but am I like a specific part of the body, or is this just an analogy to help me understand and relate, because it's a really good one. But am I a part of the body, or is it just strictly an analogy, or does that interchange? As soon as I asked, I heard this in my heart, and He spoke it with emotion and reverence. It made me cry. First thing He said was, well, Dan, I'm raising you up in the body of Christ to be a neck in the body of Christ. And I never forget it. I went, a neck? And He whispered this to me, and the reverence and holiness of the Lord came over me. I can't even explain it. It made me cry. He whispered and said, yeah, to help hold the body fast to the head. Wow. And I just cried and thought it was something sweet about that. And I thought, I don't know what you're saying, but this feels holy and right. And I'm just saying yes to whatever you want. Well, all these years later, the CPA says we need a name. And I said, Neck Ministries. They did a web search. Do you think there's a few ministries in the earth? Do you think? How many ministries do you think are on the earth? Probably several million, right? Million. This guy does a web search, and there's not one ministry in the world with the name Neck in it. Bam! Woo! It's because it's me. Am I messing up? Neck, baby. Right here. But honestly, are we all called to be necks in that sense? Hold the body fast to the head? Are we all to reveal Christ, to manifest Christ, to let our light so shine like Christ? As He is, so are we. The things I do, you'll do. As the Father sent me, I send you. Come on, this isn't religious church attendance stuff. This is life transformed.
Yeah.
My life looking like Him. Man. Without me trying so hard. Me just believing He made my life for this and accepting His grace and His forgiveness and His mercy. Getting rid of the attitudes that are destructive. Come on. We were taught by lies our whole life, people. Our whole life we were homeschooled in the wrong home. The spirit of this age and the wisdom of the world was training us and teaching us through a selfish foundation. All of us thinking for ourselves. Moody. Well, I don't like that. Well, you shouldn't have said that. Well, you make me mad. That is not Jesus. You can't find Him thinking like that, talking like that, acting like that. We did not learn that from Him. We learned that from thinking for ourselves through the lie. Born into Adam, you must be born again. Yeah. Somehow, we turned that into a positional prayer that sets me up for heaven instead of transformation and change in heaven in me. We've got to be careful with that. Mm-hmm. This thing is change. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is good. Good, 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 good. Okay. That... I want to establish something with you. You guys okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Hope I'm not messing up too bad. I just feel lighthearted and at the same time extremely serious, so I'm staying lighthearted so nobody's like, come on, man, the sword is sharp. The word of God is sharp. But it's not here to hurt you. It's here to circumcise and transform you.
That's right.
Look, it's real simple. Nobody can be the steward of your own heart. You are. So you're the one that really depends on what becomes of your life in Him. You're the one that calls this thing. You're either in or you're not. You can't be half in. There's no such thing. You're either in or you're not. You either say yes or you don't. It's that raw, guys. I've asked Jesus, I said, Lord, if you're going to let me preach in front of lots of people, I said this a long time ago, I said, then I'm asking you one thing. Like, if you really mean that I'm going to be doing this, because I've never asked for this. Like, I've never asked for this. This, like, all this preaching and pastoring. I told them no at my church. They were asking me to pastor. I was 2 years old and the Lord never asked me to pastor. And I'm like, I'm not a pastor. I'm a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. No, I'm not pastoring. You're a pastor. You're a pastor. No. Third time, my pastor said, did you even pray about this? I said, I haven't even thought about it. Just having fun living Jesus. I think we think that as soon as we see Jesus moving in somebody or a gift or a word of knowledge, that we're leadership. We're all supposed to shine. You're all leaders in the respect of light. Mm-hmm. Is there light in you?
Yep.
If you're saved, there's light in you. Whether you know it or not, there's light in you. Is light greater than darkness?
Yes.
So leadership, influence, the capacity to influence, is light greater than darkness?
Yes.
Well, then you're a leader as soon as you get born again in the sense that light comes into you. And light exposes darkness, removes darkness. You can lead the way with your attitude. You can lead the way with your disposition. You can lead the way with your encouraged heart. You can lead the way by just living in an exemplary place with no demeaning attitude, with no detrimental mindset, with no just ho-hum or, ooh, I can't believe. And all of a sudden you're just living consistent. People see it and they catch wind of what's going on behind the scenes, or they see what you're faced with right here, and yet they don't see you change, no turning or shifting a shadow. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you look like a rock to them. Sound familiar? Yeah. Somehow we got the impression that Jesus was here to serve us and make our lives go better. That's why a lot of Christians are mad at God and won't admit it. Because their circumstances have failed. Or they lost a loved one along the way. Or a tragedy happened and they're wondering why God let it. And all of a sudden their analogies are spiritualized in a sovereign way where God's at a desk of administration. And somehow they find fault with God because they came into this thing hoping He'd make their life go better. Instead of make them more like Him and transform the why behind that. Man, if you're a Christian for you and your well-being, you're a sitting duck. You're an easy target and you're not going to last long. How's that? You ought to be glad somebody's telling you that. Real straightforward. If you're a Christian for your sake, it's not why you're a Christian. It's unscriptural. You're a Christian for His great name. You're a Christian to seek first the kingdom of God. You're actually a Christian for others before you're a Christian for you. Read your Bible. Philippians 2 tells you that two places and it's other places. You're a Christian for Him and His name and His kingdom. You're not a Christian for well-being. You're a Christian for His name and for His glory. That's when you're going to run well. That's when you'll done be afraid, done being insulted, and done being insecure. I keep hearing this word, done being moody. I don't know why I keep saying that, but I'm telling you. Man, if you're moody, throw that thing out the window. Moody. That's just an indictment that you don't know Him. Because He's not moody. If He was moody, you wouldn't be saved.
Yeah.
He'd be in a bad mood. If He was moody, you wouldn't have the Spirit of God in you. Because every time you didn't do right, He'd be moody. And when you knew better and didn't do it, He'd be moody. And He'd be saying stuff to Jesus like, you serious? You really gave your life for them? Like, they absolutely know to do right. Like, the conviction we gave through Spirit of God, there's no way that there's any gray zone. They know. And look what they did. Did you see what God saw, Father? Sure, that just irks me. Because they should know better, they do know better, and they chose otherwise. If they're not for us, they're against us. I don't even know why we care. I think you should stop interceding, mediating for them. We ought to just look over in this direction.
Man.
We don't bring that conversation up with God because we know that's not God, but we think He's not that way because He's God. He's not that way because he's love.
Yeah.
And that's what we miss. We make him a mysterious being. He wants you to know him as love.
Wow.
And he called you to the same.
Yeah.
Come on.
Preach it.
He made you for his image. What are you lacking? He gave you the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He'll quicken your mortal body. What are we lacking? Just faith and trust in him, a renewed mind, living by the old wisdom, the old ways, and letting the old feelings be real and normal instead of the new life that comes through Jesus Christ. So what are we lacking? Just faith and trust in him, continuing in the truth, so the truth can make us free.
Yeah? Come on, do you see how simple I just made this thing? This thing sounds pretty simple right now. So simple, some people get frustrated with it. They think it should be more complicated. It's not. Paul said, I'm concerned for you, O Corinthians, like Eve was deceived by the serpent. The more he talked, the more she... Removed from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. If it's not simple, you're not even preaching the gospel.
If a young fellow sitting on the front can't understand what I'm saying, if a young lady sitting there can't understand what I'm saying, I'm probably not preaching the gospel clear. Yeah? But you can hear. Kids hear, man. You talk about selfishness, you talk about things, I act things out that kids do and say sometimes, we all did growing up, and them kids look and they're going, oh, they're looking at each other up with each other because they like, I just did that yesterday. But you know what's awesome? They get convicted by it because they're hearing. And they realize there's a higher way. There's another way, and it's the way. And all of a sudden, they don't get lulled to sleep. They say, oh, well, this is normal. Everybody has their stuff. People say, well, everybody has their moments. No, that's why you have yours. Because you're positioned for it, and you believe that. I wonder if I don't believe that. I wonder if I don't have permission for that. I wonder if I take accountability for my heart for that. I said it last night. I'm saying it now. It takes two to tango. It takes one to make peace and pursue peace. It takes two to fight. It takes one to pursue peace. Come on, the whole world is at enmity with God. And one man came and made peace. Wonder if he fought. Wonder if he yelled back. Wonder if he took his rights. Wonder if he said, well, you don't appreciate me. I'm healing the sick and you're trying to blame it on the devil. You bunch of losers, you're going to be judged forever. You shouldn't have messed with me. God's my father. Come on! He couldn't say that stuff because he wasn't trained by that stuff. He's the Lord. He's light. He's truth. He's love. He raised Lazarus from the dead and the Pharisees said, we really need to kill this guy. That's offensive if you're not love. The more good he did, the more they schemed to extinguish his life. And he never repaid evil for evil. He overcame evil with good. They couldn't do enough to change who he is. That's why who he is still changing, man.
Yeah.
He is so solid. He is so my hero. Like, I don't just want to sing to him and pray to him and hope life's convenient. I want to follow him. I want him to live in me and shine through me and love through me. I love going through airports and sitting around people in just everyday life. And you see people get overwhelmed and frustrated. I mean, people get mad. Like, somebody, I mean, we're all going on the same plane. People are rocking for position. It's hilarious. Because they want to get in there first so they have room for their bag and forget your bag. It's all that self-serving stuff. It's all over society, man. Everybody thinking for themselves. They want the best seat. They want up close to the front. They don't want to have to walk long. Everybody convenience, convenience, convenience. Don't you turn your Christianity into convenience. You lay your life down for others.
Yeah.
I know Christians that think their whole purpose of faith is just praying for convenience every day. Praying for, you know, you guys don't have traffic lights here, I don't think. But where I come from, they actually are traffic lights. You know what they are? Like red, they green, they turn yellow before they change. You guys know traffic light? Did you ever see one?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one?
Yeah.
There's one? Awesome. So you do know what they are. So you really don't need to pray to get through that one. But when you live in a city where it's block after block after block, people pride their faith in the fact that they get all green lights on the way to work. They think that's the sign of spirituality. And I think it's an extreme sign of selfishness. Because if your light's always green, somebody's just red, and you don't seem to care. We're just always believing for the best parking spot. I know people that will drive around Walmart, pray in tongues for somebody to leave the store and pull out. Jesus! That thing is parked in the back if you can walk. Look, if you're in the best spot, somebody isn't. Why is it a sign of spiritual eyes? So I guess the rest of the city is backslidden and don't have no faith because their lights are red. And yours are super spiritual, yours are green. We're just missing the point. It's not why you have faith for personal convenience. You have faith to destroy the works of the devil and to move mountains and to stand in integrity and honor and diligence.
Yeah.
You have faith to live a life in Christ, not catch a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Living your life in Christ is the blessing. Listen, guys, if we would learn what it means to live free from ourselves, you'll find that you're as free as you've ever been, and you'll actually be excited about your life. If you would learn what it means to not be selfish. Every man was born so completely selfish, it's ridiculous. Everybody in this room. Look, you were angry before you could speak English. You were ready to give up your binky, and somebody took your binky. Yeah! You're turning colors that people don't turn. You see, it's ball, and then you get your little kid swing at you. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
And then the mom thinks she's failing. Is there a devil in my child? Oh, she's manifesting. I think my child is a devil. I said, no, they need Jesus someday. Keep living like Jesus. Stop freaking out. I had a mother come to me. She was so sweet. She's like, I'm just so failing as a mother. I'm like, you are failing as a mother? That's a joke. You are like the most godly woman. You are the sweetest thing. You're not failing as a mother. Yes, but my child manifested. She manifested an attitude. She made a mean face to me, and she's just an incident. I never do that around her, and somehow I think she has a demon. No, honey. She was born into Adam. She's solely and completely self-centered. And she's going to meet Jesus someday. So don't get condemned and discouraged. Keep being like Jesus. So as she gets a little bit older, she realizes there's a big difference between what's in you, Mama, and what's in me. She talks to you about it, and you get to share what it is, and she gives her life to him. That would be sweet. That sure beats you being condemned and guilty and trying to cast devils that aren't there. Ow. Go on. From the time you can remember, I don't care how old you are or young you are in this room, from the time you remember, you needed loved, appreciated, valued. Somebody laughed at you, it hurt. Somebody said something you didn't like, you got angry, moody, snapping. Self-centered foundation in every person's life in this room. We all know what I'm talking about. So the emotions you grew up with aren't even what he gave us, only what God created for us. All your emotions are perverted and twisted, and we think they're normal. We say, well, everybody, well, yeah, but stop keeping something alive that's supposed to die. Yeah. You get self-centeredness out of your life, your whole emotional makeup is different. You respond different than you did before. They get renewed and redeemed. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Come on, if you're really thinking for yourself, isn't there a response to that motive? Isn't there an expression to that motive? The trouble is, we call that normal. But it's not what God made us. It's what we became when Adam ate the tree. It's what we were born into. It's time to get born again. Mm-hmm. That's why the Bible says to kill these things. Put them to death and put them off. Why? They were never you in the first place. And to put on the new and put on Christ. You guys with me? What I'm just telling you, I said it last night, for some reason I'm on the same tone. It's like, today is not the day to have animosity in your homes and families. It's not the day to cop an attitude. It's the day to walk in love and be like Jesus. I don't care if everybody in your family isn't on page. You can walk in love without projecting and presuming and preaching and trying to change them. You can just be at peace with who God is in you, and you can begin to model that and shine that and let that convict them and let time change their hearts. You're not in a fight with your family. You're in a fight to keep in the faith. Mm. You fight the good fight of faith. You don't fight the fight of your family. You're not trying to change your boss. You're being like Jesus. Let Jesus change your boss. You're not trying to change your boss because he gets on your nerves. You got new nerves. You care for him and you wish he'd see because he's more than what he's living. And there's a whole different motive behind your feelings towards your boss. It's the difference between selfish and selfless. Your motive changes. When you're selfless, you pray for your spouse because you hurt for them, not because you hurt because of them. When you're selfish, you pray because you can't take anymore. If you don't change them soon, God, I'm giving up and I can't take another moment. Well, if God said that to you when you weren't doing well, you're toast. So why are we so quick to jump ship when God never did? Why are we so quick to move on when it's not our life? Because I think we got tricked into surviving instead of shining. Mm-hmm. You guys good?
Yeah.
You saying it as gentle as I can, but straight. That thing he kept putting up there, it's that thing for the weekend. No, that's the activate thing. There was one he wrote up for with my face on, and it says, established in the faith. I'm going to talk about that for just a little bit, and we'll probably close out here. The just shall live by
faith.
Faith is more than a tool in your God belt that gets prayers in.
Faith is more than you just believing for a new job or you just believing you don't get laid off.
That's a part of faith. It's just a part of faith. But when you look in the New Testament, many, many, many times you'll see the word the in front of faith. And every time the word the is in front of faith, it's taking it out of the category of a tool in your belt to get a prayer answer. It's talking about perspective, a mindset, something you live from. The faith. The faith is what you've become now that he came. The faith is the why behind your life. The faith is you and all you're getting. Get understanding. Understanding why he lives in you, why he paid for you, and who you are now. That's the faith. Countless Christians, sincere Christians that aren't hypocrites, have never been taught these things. And they don't understand these things, so if they don't have a strong why behind their life, life is still speaking louder than truth. Even though they're sincere and see their need for a Savior and they don't miss church and they're trying to do well, life's still rocking their boat, they're falling in the water, rescue, yeah, and they're not getting the why behind their life. So the faith, all through Scripture, and I'll show you some examples, is what keeps the boat from ever tipping over and you falling in the water drowning. The faith is what establishes you. So you said, this weekend you called it established in, and then you put it in all caps, the faith. And I love that, because that's Colossians 2. Did you know that's in Colossians 2? Colossians 2 says, as you've received him, so walk in him. You want to look at it just so you know it's there? I don't know, I'm a quoter of the Bible. I just fill my heart with the word. You really, it would be a good thing to fill your heart with the word. Because if you don't fill your heart with the word, how will you discern life? If you don't know what truth is, how will you ever distinguish a lie? The way that seems right to a man leads to destruction or death. Two times he quotes that in Proverbs, two chapters apart, 14 and 16, he repeats himself. It's pretty serious when God says the same exact thing, two chapters. He says it, another chapter he says it again. I'm thinking we ought to probably listen. If he writes the same exact thing, two chapters apart, or one chapter apart, really, one in the middle. 14, 16. There's a way that
seems.
See, that's what's so troubling about it. That's what's so dangerous. It seems right. And if you don't fill your heart with the truth, you won't discern that thing because it seems right. And your hurting friend agrees with what seems right. Your offended friend, your troubled friend, and all of a sudden, pain attracts pain. Now we're sympathizing and it seems right. Now we're talking about what they did and what they said. And wow, no wonder. Wow, I'm sorry they... Wow, I can see why you're hurt. Oh, wow. And the way that seems right, once again, is eating people's life up. That's what's so dangerous about it. It seems right to man. So it's good to get filled with the way to discern that way. You follow me? It's really important. There's a wisdom we were all trained by, and it's not the Lord. It's the wisdom from below.
I'm just going to nail this thing quick, and then I'm going to get on to this, because I want to talk about the faith, but this feels important in my heart. I talk about selfishness a lot. So does the Bible. Jesus didn't say, if any man come after me, let him first pray this prayer and assure his name's in a book called Life and he can go to heaven. He said, if any man comes after me, let him first deny himself. Pick up his cross and follow me. What's first? Deny yourself. Why? You were never made for you. That's the biggest lie on the planet. Men living for themselves when they were made for his image. The biggest lie on the planet is a man living for himself when he's created for God's image. No wonder life feels like a grind. You're living it outside of grace and why you're here. You're living life to survive. You're living life to benefit. You're tapping into God for blessing. None of those things is why he sent his son. He sent his son to redeem and bring transformation. And in that, there's major blessing. You're so fulfilled in Christ, it's ridiculous. Some of the things we think we need are just wants. Our whole life would change if we'd be fulfilled in the truth of him and who he is and his love for us. A lot of things you think you need would wash away in that relationship. Like, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's why I'm on the fringe of flaky right now. But I'm making sense. As long as I'm making sense, I'm not flaky. No, if I'm not making sense, I'm floating like a butterfly, so he needs to pray me down. But watch this. Verse 6. Colossians 2, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. See, it's not a one-time prayer to go to heaven. There's a walk that you take. Right. You walk in him. You walk in him. Do you catch the language? Watch this. Rooted and built up. This is why we have these conferences, these meetings. This is why we teach, guys. So we get trained and equipped and established. Right? So we sharpened and edified and stirred up in love and good works. So nobody gets lulled to sleep. Or gives up, or gets a wrong idea. Yeah? Rooted and built up in him, established in what?
The faith.
The faith. See, that has nothing to do with believing for a new job. That has to do with something you've become now that he came. That's something you live by. That's how you walk into establishing the faith. I'm going to talk about it a little. As you have been taught. Bummer. Some of us live our whole Christian life and never have been taught about the faith. Well, just believe, brother. It's deeper than that. It's just, you have to understand who you've become. You have to put on the identity that you've received through his cross, through his resurrection, sitting at the right hand. You have to understand your reason for being, new life. There's new wine, so we ought to have a new wineskin to hold it.
Amen.
So the why behind your life has to change. Your reason for being. You can't wake up anymore and just pursue life to just feel it out and just say, well, you know, I wonder what I'm here for. No, the cross reveals that. You got purpose and meaning in your heart. You don't wake up and live frivolous. You redeem the times. Amen? Yeah. Come on, it's just true, guys. Established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You know why he attaches thanksgiving to all these things? Because it's all through the New Testament. In everything give thanks. And he doesn't say for, he says in everything give thanks. In all things thanks. Rejoice, against it rejoice, etc., etc. Thanksgiving all through the Bible. When you lose your thanksgiving, you've turned inward and you've weighed how the thing's affecting you personally. And it shuts down thanksgiving. We lose a loved one very close to us. Shuts down thanksgiving for a lot of good Christians that mean well, that aren't hypocrites. They just have wrong perspective and they're caught up in the sentiment of loss instead of the truth of eternal life and I still have a legacy and a race to run and wow, thank you, God. If it wasn't for the blood, we're too busy sometimes getting caught up in the death. God, I can't believe you let them go. I can't believe you let them die. God, why them? God. And you lose months of your life just crying in the question. And all of a sudden you're coveting life instead of giver of it. And it says, unless you love less, your mother, your father, he says some very important folks, your mother, your father, your spouse, your children, your houses, your land, and yes, your own life, you'll by no means be my disciple. That doesn't mean you're not saved, going to heaven. What it means is you'll no way be a disciplined learner and a wholehearted follower of what I created you for and called you to. There's no way you'll fulfill what you're here for if that list isn't in order. Because one of those things on the list will get in the way. What if the enemy himself would sniff out that idolatry and that something matters more than what matters most, and all of a sudden it becomes a target just because of motive? Wonder if he just starts picking at weakness. Wonder if you just say out of your mouth, boy, if something ever happened to one of my children, I would just die. My life would just be over. If I would just die. Mothers talk like that. I've heard it. And then all of a sudden it just looks like something's going on with your children and you're almost dying. Why would you position that stuff? Come on. It's not good. People say, well, I just can't take it anymore. If just one more thing goes wrong, I'm just done. And the devil says, what an easy target. Punch drunk. Eighth round. This a knockout. Bam! And you say, why are all these things happening to me? Why is God letting... He's not letting nothing. You're positioned for it, you're inviting it, and you're sitting parking. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Come on. And it's just good. That's when the preacher says his sermon's good. He is good. I can feel it. It changed my life. That's good preaching, brother. Hey, here he goes. My pastor, he'll be preaching like that, and he'll sit down, he'll run over, he'll go, amen, brother, that's awesome. Yes, glory to God. And then he'll get back up and start preaching. He'll go sit down and say, yeah, revelation, dude, that's word. Bring it. Abounding in it with what? So we're going to be established in the faith as we've been taught. So after today, you're not going to be able to say you weren't taught. Gotcha. So watch this. Now watch. The very next line. Watch. Very next line. Beware. Caution. Not fear. Not insecurity. Just beware. Lest anyone cheat you, rob you, sell you short, hold you captive, take you plunder. All those definitions work there in all the different translations. That's some of those translations. You have all those words in different translations. My Bible says, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, just human reasoning, through empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world. Watch. And not according to Christ. Boy, that's sobering. That tells you there's a whole list of mentality out there that's not connected to truth. Because he's the truth. Yeah, but brother. Yeah, but. Who knows, there's a lot of yell buts out there. Yeah, but brother, you got to use wisdom. Whose wisdom? Your fear right now?
Or his revelation?
Come on, we're going to find that you got to use wisdom line has stopped the power of God more times than we'll ever know until that day. We got to be careful with that one. Beware lest anyone would cheat you through philosophy, deceit, traditions, principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Watch this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And watch. You are complete in him.
Yeah.
Who is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of all principality and power. And you are complete in him.
Yeah.
See, living by the faith makes you complete in him, and you have everything you need to shine. And you wake up in the morning and you understand I'm alive for one reason, to be more like you, to shine, so then to see the light of who you are in me and have a better look at you. God, what an honor to live in this life with one purpose, to shine. Even if I like golfing, and I go golfing, I've never golfed in my life. I swung a golf club one time. I wasn't saved, and I was kind of mocking some guys that were always hitting the golf ball between our softball games and tournaments. And I'm like, why are you guys messing around just hitting that ball? Like, what's the big deal? You drive it. You're using a golf club, and you're driving it down. I go, woo. I said, you should be able to hit that thing to the moon, you know? And they're like, here, try. Sure. Wham! It went straight out that way. I stopped scared to pick a golf club up for a small. How'd the ball do that? I was being all arrogant, all cocky, and I was young, and I'm like, give me that club. And I'm thinking I'm going to hit it. They won't even be able to see it. Yeah. About this high, straight towards humanity.
I was like, oh, don't hit nobody.
I don't know how to kill someone.
But I don't golf, but I'm not saying, see, I'm not saying you can't golf or go bowling with a bunch of friends or go have a cookout. Come on. Do all that stuff and have a blast and enjoy one another. But the whole time you do it, make sure you shine. You understand you're going to be like Jesus. Love people in the midst. Encourage. Take notice of others. There's a way to do all these things we've always done and be like Jesus. So I'm not talking some segregation, legalistic thing that takes you out of life. It's something that introduces you into life.
Right.
Yeah? Come on, wouldn't it be great? You know, do you guys have bowling alley out here somewhere?
Have
bowling here? Okay. Somehow I just think you guys are like deprived of everything. Like, I just didn't see no lights. I didn't even know if you had a hotel. Do you have a hotel? You do? You have two hotels? Why? You have three hotels. Are you serious?
We have a Walmart.
We have a Super Walmart.
God must be setting up for something. Setting up for something to happen. So look, watch the possibilities. You go bowling with a bunch of friends. You know, you're having fun, you're competitive, but not over-competitive. It's not really about who wins, but you want to do well, you're happy, well, no, thank you, God, so it's cool. But you're aware of others, you're in the thing, you're over buying a little drink, you see somebody hurting, they say, man, they tell the guy, man, I got to sit out a couple games, I just can't get past this thing in my elbow, I don't know what it is. That stuff happens all the time in public when you're out there. And you're bowling, having fun, but Jesus is in you. So you just offer. The worst that can happen is nothing, but if you don't pray, you already got that.
Yeah.
And they're not expecting nothing. So you're not letting them down if it doesn't change. I hear people say, I don't want to misrepresent the gospel. You are if you fail to love. You're misrepresenting the gospel if you don't love people. The most religious thing we do is go to church and fail to be her. Come on! He said, as you go, not as you come.
That's right.
The whole reason you come is to be empowered to go.
Right.
Look, you come here, but you live there. You be like Jesus there. That's where you have the most impact. Be honest. We can find our identity in church. The church got this bright idea years ago. Some of the older folks will know this is true. And you'll laugh about it because you'll know it's true. It was a generation or so ago. We got this idea that life is tough and it really drains you and it's a long ride from Sunday to Sunday. So let's do a midweek Wednesday service to get a shot in the arm to make it till Sunday. Who knows that's true? We did the midweek service. The Wednesday service was birthed out of trying to make it to the next Sunday. So you had to come and get refueled and get a shot. Now I can make it. I'm going to ride the high through the pain. And hopefully it lasts till Sunday. And if not, I'll crawl into the building. You're supposed to shine. People say, yeah, but we leak. You're supposed to leak on people, not through cracks. We just come up with some strange thoughts. Life's really tough. The world's hard. Nobody understands. They hate us, persecuting. The boss is shouting down. Pastors spent their whole life in ministry. Their whole life in ministry. I know some of you people, and you've had the toughest weeks. And some of your bosses have failed to appreciate you. You've heard the four-letter words all week. Some of your spouses aren't saved, and I know your heart's just breaking, and God wants to comfort you. You can't go on anymore. Life has wore you down, but He is greater. Come and they're all, I'm calling it a move of God. So week after week, we minister to the broken hearted. You say, yeah, brother, He heals the broken hearted. Did you get it? He heals the broken hearted.
Yeah.
Amen.
Completely.
Yep.
So why are we always broken? It's a perspective that keeps you from getting broken. It's a wrong perspective that keeps you breaking. So why do we always expect life to break us? Why don't we teach people how not to be broken? And then just get rid of that article. Because people aren't crying because they're receiving the grace of God. They're crying because they're broken.
Yeah.
And we call it the move of God. I'm telling you, I've been in those services and I'm like,
not sure what's happening. And they're up there bawling. We're like, look at God. God is really loving. I'm like, no, they're devastated and they're believing what you're saying and actually think life has the ability to eat their life. And when they leave, they're not sure about going to work again because here we go again. Thank God for the Wednesday service.
It's so not the gospel.
Oh, this is going to create a problem, man. I don't even agree with and I'm a real big fan of. I go to church to get fed. You ought to be feeding. If you're going to church to get fed, you're a very hungry person all week long. You actually go to church to stay stirred up in love and good works.
Yes.
If you read your Bible, you should be feeding all the time. Come on.
Some of us are eating all the time. We ought to be feeding all the time on the scripture. Just saying. Come on, man. I wonder if you cracked open this book as much as you cracked that cupboard open.
I was terrible the other day. I was like to my wife, I said, why do I keep opening that cupboard? She said, I don't know. You really seem like you have a picky thing going on. You just snacking here, snacking. I said, I know. I don't know what I'm doing. Why did I don't know what you're doing? So I just said, that's it. Wait, cupboard, you don't own me. I stayed out of it. Then I thought of something that was in there. And I wanted. I said, no, I'm not going to. But I wonder if we need in him as much as sometimes we get the little pickies, you know? Snacking here and there. Just a thought. You're complete in who?
Christ.
In him. So you want to be rooted, grounded, built up, and established in the faith. Look at 2 Timothy with me quick. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to try to wrap this up really quick. It's all right. I'm being sensitive to folks and their schedules, and we're coming back at 6. So, yeah. No, I'm not bound to my watch, really. I'm just being sensitive. I am. But I appreciate your encouragement. I wish I could do that because that's my heart, my friend. Yeah. It's like Sunday morning. You know, I pastored for years. I understand. So even when we go to Sunday morning, I'm really, like, people see how long I preach, but I never blow up Sunday mornings because I understand Sunday morning, we're not there to stay all day. We're there to be stirred up, encourage each other, lock arms, worship Him corporately, rub elbows, see that we're not the only one in the race, right? Just be built up in Him. And it's kind of like a football huddle. We're coming, we're calling the play, yay, and we're breaking and we're going. This is kind of like it is. So you come to become more like Him, you leave, you look a little more like Him than when you came. It's not about staying all day on a Sunday morning. It's about being cheered on in God and not losing sight of who you are. It's really good. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a real triumphant statement of Paul. He's writing to Timothy. And in verse 7, I mean, people put this stuff on the refrigerators because it sounds so triumphant. And it is. It's awesome. But watch what he said. I have fought the good fight. So in the chapter 1 Timothy 6. Yeah, thank you. 1 Timothy 6, he talks about fight the... It's in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Watch. And right after he says fight the good fight of faith, he's talking about the faith. Lay hold on eternal life. In other words, don't live for the moment. Get a bigger picture. You can't lose. You've already won. That's so powerful. We think we won if our certain specific prayer is answered. We've won because your sins are forgiven and life's inside of you. And you're never going to die. You've already won. You hear what I'm saying? So good. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. Watch. I have finished the course of race. Do you hear that Paul has a way bigger view than going to heaven someday? That actually understands he was called to something, created for something. You say, well, yeah, but that was Paul. He was called to that ministry. Yeah, to reproduce ministers, to reproduce that same identity in people. He wrote all kind of love letters to the church and showed us who we are now that Jesus came. So does Paul, the only one that has a race, or did he tell us to run a race worthy of a prize? Did he write, walk in a manner worthy of him?
Did Paul write all these kinds of scriptures that took the life he was living and imparted it to us and said, you're called to the same? Follow me as I follow. Pattern yourself after those who you have as an example. He says in Philippians, he says, no matter where you're at spiritually, let us all have the same mind. Let's all run and live the same way. And if anybody has a different mindset, even God will show you otherwise. Isn't that amazing? That's intense. So look, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept
the faith.
Well, that's impressive when Paul writes that. You read the list that this fellow went through of sufferings and trials and the cost of being a Christian. We get laid off and think our world's over because we have bills and we're rationalizing. And we're already got tomorrow ahead of today. Be real. You get a layoff notice and become laid off if you're not careful. Instead of in Christ and in covenant, you get the layoff notice and you respond totally different. It always fascinated me how we're tricked to become what we're going through instead of become what he went through. It's always surprised me as a pastor how prayer requests were always wrapped around the circumstance and trial and the person was wearing what they're in the middle of. And they had become that very thing until it changed. That always fascinated me because how are you ever going to shine light into the situation if you're letting the thing influence who you are? Could you picture Jesus sitting like by the campfire at night in the Mount of Olives with his guys? And he's just kind of like, and they come around and, Jesus, are you okay? You just seem a little down. I mean, doesn't that even sound hilarious? And he goes, well, you know, I don't know. I just don't think people like me that much. I mean, I look at all the healings today and the miracles and it seems great, but I don't know what it's really accomplishing because now they're all talking and see, there's really some hang-ups with being the Lord because I hear their thoughts and they're not thinking very good things. Could you imagine that conversation and he's bummed out? And he's like sitting by the fire a little bit sad because people don't appreciate him? And I'm really not sure where this ministry is headed. I mean, I had great visions of turning the world upside down, but honestly, the only thing turning upside down lately has been my heart and my mind and I don't know. People are just wearing on me. That conversation is so normal to us growing up. And you can't even fathom it in his mouth. It would be strange if Jesus talked that way. It ought to be strange if we talked that way. We were made for his image. And as he is, so are we in the world.
Yeah.
We've been trained by a lie. The trouble is we believed it. More trouble is we've carried it over into new life. All of a sudden you can minister for reputation. All of a sudden you let your ministry identify you. All of a sudden you can serve in the church to feel appreciated. And they're all smashed in there. All of a sudden your heart's hurt and hard. And I don't like that church and they don't appreciate me. And I served and served. And they never did gave me one but a thank you. All of a sudden Sally's up on the platform and pastor says, Sally's been amazing. She just showed up at this church. She's been laying down her life in this ministry. I just want you all to appreciate her and understand. And he just felt like honoring her. You're sitting there thinking, I've been doing my ministry for 2 years. He ain't but mentioned my name. That's trouble. That's when you're in the ministry for the way wrong reason.
Yeah.
You better back out and regroup your heart before you step in.
Yeah.
Love doesn't. Nobody owes nothing to love. And love owes nothing but to love. If you're doing what you're doing for a thank you, it's not even healthy when they say it because they're feeding that thing. And all of a sudden you're only as good as men are appreciating you instead of as good as he is inside of you. Be very careful with this stuff because we were trained by it. And we think it's normal. And it's not. Because if you can't find it in his life, then we won't want to find it in ours. Because we're following. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Looked at it, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was scared about me.
I know. I looked right at you. I know yourself. You see how quick he threw you under the bus, man?
It was him, not me.
I know what you're saying about time, because I'm like, Usually when I'm guest ministering and I'm doing special services, I don't really think much about the time. The only reason I'm now, we're in the middle of the day, and we'll be coming back. Hopefully, somebody will come back. Even if you don't come back, somebody will. If I ran you off, fine. If you just have something to do today, we understand. But do you hear Paul? He's far from just serving doctrine, just going to church, just waiting for heaven. I fought the good fight. I've maintained a healthy perspective in the midst of everything I face. Christians betraying. He talks about men that turned from the faith. He talked about men that were feeding their stomachs and their glory was their shame. Right? And he wept often for them when he thought of them. They were Christians, guys. He talked about Alexander the coppersmith causing him great harm, facing beasts daily in Ephesus, and facing death all the time. He was whipped, he was stoned, he was beat. Rods, numbers of times, all these things. When you look at the list of perils, 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 he said, hey, I fought the good fight. I've maintained a healthy perspective of who I am now that he came and what I'm called to, and I didn't let any of these trials get in the way to overcome and keep me from reaching the goal.
Yeah.
That's powerful. And he called it the faith. I've kept the faith. Has nothing to do with believing for a new car or the right spouse. Has nothing to do with a tool that you use to get a prayer answer. Has to do with the perspective you live from in the face of adversity. You look in the patriarchs of faith. You look in, if you would, real quick, and then I'll just skip a stone and we'll be done and I'll pray over you guys. If you look in Hebrews 11, the patriarchs of faith, it is by faith, by faith. So in my Bible, everywhere it says by faith, I have it circled. And then the person he's talking about underlined, so I can look at it and just find it and see it. It's awesome. So when you look at these things, it's by faith, right? It's by faith. You can go to Abel. It was all a perspective. It was by faith. Most of these things, Abraham, he left his home and went out into a place. He didn't even know where he was going. He just, by faith, trusted God's word and trusted God that he would. And he didn't think for himself. He didn't think for his well-being. And he didn't let tomorrow get ahead of today. You get it? I love Moses when they get to Moses. Some of these things are amazing. They look in verse 13, watch this. These all died. He named all these people. These all died in faith. What a testimony. Oh, I said with tears, if heaven remembers me as a believer, we've done well. And everything else will fall in place. If heaven remembers us as believers, everything else will make sense. Because your life reveals what you believe. Your life lived. The way you live your life reveals what you believe. Your belief and your life are attached together. You're not saved by your works. You're judged for your works, whether good or bad. Every man will stand before and be judged for their works. Your life is the expression of your faith. So if you walked in unforgiveness, you didn't believe the gospel of love and forgiveness. You wanted forgiveness. You didn't want to become forgiveness. So you didn't believe the gospel. Are you following me? Your life lived will reveal your faith. It's not a questionnaire you're going to fill out. Your life lived reveals what you believe. Yeah? It's just sober and good. All these died in faith, not having received the promise. So the receiving of the promise wasn't conditional. Some of us pray for things, and if it doesn't happen, we lose our disposition, we lose our heart, we lose our countenance. We lose our joy. If the rent's paid, we're jumping and shouting, both hands are raised. If we're not sure where the money's coming from, our hands are in our pocket, we're sitting, we're crying, we're hoping somebody comes and acknowledges me. Just be careful with that stuff. It's not good. Because it proves we're Christians for what he can do for us instead of how he can make us more like him. These all died in faith, not even receiving the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were saying, this isn't my home. Man, there's a better home. There's a better way. These guys were living apart from the cross of Jesus, guys. But they knew there was something greater.
So they lived their whole life without experiencing the cross and not receiving the promise of redemption through Christ. They lived their whole life seeing from afar off and believed that it was coming and believed this was worth taking a stand for, because they lived sanctified in an old covenant. That's what was wrong with Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. When I say wrong, it means right. They lived sanctified in an old covenant without having the cross and did not compromise, because they believed God and their living testimony. And epistles written on men's hearts. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Read by men. Yes. Their lives are read by men. Yes. And you want that. You want that, right? You want your years to go by and people hear your name and say, oh, I knew that girl. Man, I knew Jesus a little more than I would have because I knew her. And there's things that inspire people. Things you're not even aware of. I had people along the way in my life come to me and say, man, you never talked to me. I never really made myself. But I remember when you first got saved in the church, and I would watch you, and I'd think, well, and there was things you said and did that just marked me. I went home and prayed to God, and well, and I didn't even know what was going on. There was people I worked with, after I left, that called me and told me how much my life meant to them when I was working. Oh! You're not going in there trying that. You're just in Him, and you understand why you're alive, and that's going to happen. Amen. Yeah?
Yeah.
Come on, if you're planting corn, you're getting corn. Whoa! That's deep. If you're planting Jesus, you're getting Jesus. If you're sowing Him, He's the result. Yeah. Look. Those who say such things, they were strangers and pilgrims. Those who say such things declare plainly they're seeking a homeland. They're saying, man, this isn't what I was created for. This isn't what it's all about. I'm not entering in. I'm not getting caught in the rat race. You see, the life's a rat race. It's people trying to reach the top. Notoriety, esteem, Hollywood, red carpet, name, fame. Be real with me. What a trap. Unfulfilled. Vacuum. Suicide, drinking blind drunk behind the scenes, trying to get sober enough to do the red carpet. Them stories are everywhere. You see them all the time. Pressured to stay on top. Pressured by what everybody thinks. Pressured by what everybody writes. Yeah? Just so not good. It's a rat race. So people look like they're winning. And it makes other people look like they're... So you have mountains and valleys. You have high places and low places. You have hot shots and gutter life. And there's no such thing. John the Baptist declared it. Listen, even if you're winning a rat race, you're still a rat. It means your motive's wrong. It means your goal's wrong. So even if you're winning a rat race, you're still a rat. You're just... I had other rats in the natural. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
You're not called to be rats. Amen. That's just a phrase, rat race. But seriously, some people look like they're on the top. Wow, they reached the mountain. They're going to find they put the ladder on the wrong mountain. They climbed to the wrong top. Because it was all about them. And that can't be reproduced. That's the end. So unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it bides alone. It's all about you, not him. So you go on, and I love this Moses part. Let's just have fun with this for a second. I wanted to be done by now. I really apologize. I'm trying to finish, but I'm almost there.
Preach it.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to serve. Do you see how faith is a perspective in all these examples? He's believing a big picture purpose, and it's giving him a view on life. It has nothing to do with believing that he won't die, believing that he will live. It's not a tool. He's not using faith as a tool to get a prayer answered. He's using faith to live his life, a perspective to empower him to live. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Watch this.
By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, and he looked to the reward. Do you see what faith was? It's a mindset, a perspective. I'm going to live sanctified. I'm not going to live by this upbringing. I'm not going to stay under Pharaoh's. I'm going to come out and be what I am, what I'm a part of, and what I'm called to, no matter what it costs, and I'm not changing my mind and moving my feet. Perspective. And the Bible calls it faith. Watch. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? You love not your own life unto death. And he endured as seeing him who's invisible. Do you see what faith is? The just shall live by faith. Paul said, I've kept the faith. Colossians 2, established in the faith. Jude, verse 3, contending for the faith. Romans 3, obedience to the faith. 1 Peter 5, Satan roaming around like roaring lions, seeking whom may devour. Resistance, standing steadfast in the faith. Bam, the faith. You get it, don't you? You're my man. He's so awesome. The faith. It's all through your Bible. It's a perspective you live by. I'll close with this. Galatians 2:20. Most of you could quote it. Most of you know exactly what it is. But I want you to see how powerful this is. Because it's a funny thing how we always think of miracles, power, and all that stuff all the time. Even though there's a place for them in the gospel, but it's the heart of God where they all flow from. So when we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we think, whoa, your will. So we say this, and it's not wrong. It's actually right, and it inspires faith. We say, wow, no cancer in heaven, so there's no cancer should be on earth. So we're going to bind, we're going to lose. So we draw faith from that prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We say, wow, no cancer in heaven, no cancer on earth. And it gives us faith to pray and command cancer to leave. True?
Yeah.
But isn't it amazing how we always connect your will be done on earth as it is in heaven to the power of God instead of the heart of God?
Wow.
There's no animosity in heaven. There's no jealousy, unforgiveness, bickering, backbiting, gossip. There's no low esteem. There's no identity crisis, insecurity.
Wow.
Your will be done on
earth
just like it's flowing in heaven. Why? It's ruled by love.
Wow.
He said, when they, Father, become one like we're one, when they become one, he didn't say when you reach every corner and crack of the earth with the salvation message. He said, when they become one like we're one, then the world will know. You sent your son. Yeah?
Yeah.
Best definition of covenant I know is all that is mine is yours and all that is yours is mine.
Mm-hmm.
One plus one is a stronger one. Now don't answer that, kids, in math class, you'll flunk. Math class, one plus one is two. But in the kingdom, Christ in me, I in you, you in me, one plus one is a stronger one. It's a marriage, it's a covenant marriage. One plus.
Hey, one.
One. It's a stronger one. That's hilarious.
She's an inspirator.
Oh. Look at verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. Watch. This is why I said don't ever give people a piece of the gospel. Don't just make the goal that I'm going to heaven someday. That's a tiny piece of the gospel. I've been crucified with Christ. This is different than praying prayer to go to heaven. It's my life's no longer my own. So I'm saying goodbye to the former attitudes, the former emotions, the former ways, and the ways becoming my way. The truth becoming my truth. I'm going to follow him, not just sing to him and need him. I'm going to follow him. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Watch. And the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning in my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. It's a perspective. Faith is a perspective. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So watch this. The life I now live, I live by the perspective that was found in the Son of God. I'm not doing injustice to the Word. Watch. What's His perspective? Here's how you know faith's a perspective, because He defines His perspective, His faith. He's not talking about power, miracles, and one. People say, whoa, the faith of the Son of God. Yeah, I can raise the dead. You know what? Yeah, that's all there. But that's not what He's talking about at all right here. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Watch. Who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Hmm.
Do you see what made Jesus tick? Even though He was equal with God, He didn't consider it something to be held on to and acknowledged for. He called Himself the Son of Man. Nobody took His life. He gave His life. He came to love me and love you and give Himself for me. That's what took Him to the cross. If He didn't have that motive, He'd have got offended. If He didn't understand that, if that wasn't the faith and the mind in Christ, He'd have stopped along the way. He'd have felt like people don't appreciate me. Hey, this isn't working. Well, how can you release Barabbas when he's done bad and not done good? What's wrong with you people? No. The faith of the Son of God is He loved me. Because He loved me, He didn't take account of suffered wrongs. He kept no record of wrong. And He didn't seek His own. And He gave Himself for me. Why? Because He loved me. Greater love hath no man than this. That He laid down His life. And then we turn the gospel into a prayer that takes me to heaven on some special day. Instead of heaven coming back into me, empower me to be like Him. Because that's why I'm here. And we're the body of Christ. Come on, that is just crystal clear. A child could get that. He's here. That's awesome.
That's good preaching.
It's really good preaching, man. I'm feeling it. Changes your life. Here's what it does. I said this. I said, Lord, I didn't finish it a while ago. I said, Lord, isn't it amazing how stuff comes back to me I didn't finish? Lord, I'm going to preach to all these people and I'm going to have a mic all the time. Then I'm asking you to do one thing for me, please. Let it be so clear and so simple that a man has one of two choices when I'm done. You say, well, why not just one choice? No, it's one of two choices. Because God lets that into the heart of man. Because He gave the earth to the children of men and choose you this day. I said, when I'm finished preaching, let there only be two responses in the room. I hear what you're saying, Dad, and I want it. Or I hear what you're saying, Dad, just don't want it. But don't let them say, what are you saying?
Right.
And I don't think you're sitting there going, what are you saying? Because it's way too clear.
Yeah.
Because He's answered my prayer.
Because He loves me and hears me when I pray. Yay. Get a little gushy right there. Back off. Please. Don't make me flaky, friend.
Wait till we're alone. Be twirling, Lord.
Oh my goodness, I'm too funny right now. It's not good.
Help. You're the one doing it. Stop. Oh, He's so good to me. He does love us. He likes when I believe. John, think about John. He's either arrogant, deluded, or he understands the disciple Jesus loved.
Like, that's pretty cool. And the disciple that Jesus loved. Like, he's the only one in the world he loved or something.
Is he wrong?
I mean,
yeah, I don't think anybody's sitting there saying, what do you say? Please, come on, choose you this day. Set before you life and death. Choose life that you might have. Choose love so you can be like Him. That's the new covenant we live in. Yeah. Choose love.
Yeah.
Set before you this day self and love. Choose love. So you might pass. That's really what the new covenant would translate as. key to becoming love is wanting to be. And deliberately, intentionally, purposing to throw away every right you inherited through the fall of man and self-centered thinking. I've always wondered how a Christian can deny himself and have so many rights to be violated. Be honest, any pastor that's in here or a leader, when people come to count, it's usually violated rights, can't take anymore, well, I can't believe they did that to me, well, I'm just really struggling because they should know better. A lot of times it's people activating rights that should be forfeited through surrender of your life. And he said at this point, when you're a Christian, you give up all your rights to obtain one, to be like him. And everything else is not the gospel. That's how narrow the way is. Narrow is the way. Confined is the way. And few who are those who actually give it their life. Broad is the way to destruction. You can go to church and be so unhappy. You can go to church your whole life and fight with your spouse. You can go to church your whole life and be mad at your parents. You can go to church your whole life and resent your workplace and your boss. Going to church doesn't make you Christian.
All right.
It's Christ-likeness. It's communion with God. And saying yes to why you're here. It's tough. You good?
Yay. Convicted?
It's a good word. It means shine light upon it. It doesn't mean you were wrong and I'm trying to say it straight. It means, yeah, wow. That's why I'm here. If you'll just simply start there, you'll run well. You have to say yes to becoming love. The Lord showed me a long time ago, in a room this size, there's always a handful of people that don't want to become love. They have unspoken hidden chips on their shoulders that can be knocked off. They have lines they draw. And you can cross them. Why don't you take the lines away God had them where your life was concerned? There was no line you crossed that disqualified you. Here you sit. That's pretty humbling. Do you think he forgave us so we can just live forgiven or so we can become forgiveness? Do you think he showed us mercy just so we can obtain mercy or so we become merciful? He wants us so touched by who he is that who he is becomes our reality. And multiplies and covers the earth with his glory. You with me? I'll pray something over you and then we won't do what we did last night just because of time. But we will pray something that will be awesome. In fact, last week we did it. I didn't even talk to anybody. We didn't take time. But people were just coming up to me, letting me know because I'm a guest speaker. Hey, you know when you had your big prayer? Man, boom. And two visitors, and they'd never experienced healing or anything. The son brought them and wanted them to come and hear me. And he's like trying to get his parents to come. That's, in fact, a lot of times the parents are like trying to get the child to come. No, the child's like, you got to come and listen. Come, just come. They came, they both got healed. They both got healed. It was so awesome. They were telling me how they're healed and how they know they're healed. And they were like ecstatic and excited that, oh my goodness, our bodies actually changed. Because they weren't really church people and they heard a message that just so convicted and it was fun. So we're going to do that in a second. Can I pray over you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm only 20 minutes later than I wanted to be. That's 20 minutes, but I did my best. And I did preach good.
Yeah.
He's asking me how many, who drove how far and stuff, and I'm thinking, man, come on, you're telling me they drove all them hours, now it has to be good, you know?
Yeah.
I was in Canada 2 weeks ago. They came from 12 hours away on the east and the west, and there was 100 people plus that came at least 6 hours away.
Wow.
In the meeting. And I said, man, you shouldn't be telling me that before I can get up there and preach. I'm like, no, I'm just having fun with them. I tell you, look, if you're going to give me a microphone, I'm going to preach the kingdom.
Yeah.
And we'll have a good time. So let me pray over you. Just open your heart and be a yes, would you? Just learn how to be a yes and start there and be sincere. Just in your heart, like, Lord, you know what? I want this. No matter what people say or do, I don't want to live by those things. I want to live by the truth, by you. I want to see who I am in you. So keep establishing that in me. I'm going to continue to go in this thing. Do not let things matter more that don't matter most. God, thank you. So, Father, I just pray right now for the heart of this room that you continue to do such a work in us that's undeniable. Lord, I pray that you continue to make us influential by increasing love and awareness of who you are in us so that who you are shines through us. Lord, I'm praying for a grace to come in this room right now and touch every individual life. You know every person. You know their trials. You know where they're at. You know what they understand, don't, what they've been tricked by, what they've been running well in. You know it all. Like you know the room, Lord. I'm so sure of that. And I'm asking you to pour out grace sufficient for each individual. That you empower each one to go farther, to run better, to live higher in your love. Without works, without strain, without the risk of failure, just empowerment, God. And I'm asking you to breathe on each life in a special way, in a very intimate, personal way. And where they don't understand, bring them understanding. Where they feel stopped, let them move forward. Just nudge them along, Lord, like you tap a little child, a parent on the bottom when they're learning to walk. Just move us forward in Jesus' name. I thank you for the grace. Please, God, I asked it last night. Bring wholeness into homes. Bring wholeness into marriages. Take animosity away. And God, let each be the steward of their own heart. It takes two to tango. Let there be peacemakers in the homes in this town. Let the Church of Jesus Christ in Colville be peacemakers. And God, let us live free from animosity, rightness, needs-driven living. I'm asking for grace in this town, in your church, and in these people. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
That's my altar call. I put your heart before him. Amen? What do you... Did you stand in...
Did you? I stand in prayer.
Oh, good. No, good. I thought... Wow, I thought I was missing something. We're going to pray real quick, can I?
Okay.
For the sick.
We're going to do that?
Oh, yeah, unless you give me the shepherd's hook, man.
No.
Hey, if you're hooking me, man.
It's free. It's not a hook on it.
Real quick, we won't do this. We won't take long, but it won't be ineffective. It'll be sincere, and I believe it'll have results to it. If you're sick in body, and if you need something in your body to change that's less than wholeness, and you need healing right now, why don't you just let us know who you are. Just let us know who you are. In fact, if you can, and don't mind, just stand up real quick. If you can. If you can't, just stay where you're sitting and go like this. We'll come to you. Okay? Yeah. Just keep your one hand up so we know who you are. People sitting? Who was here last night and helped me with this and went around and prayed for people? Was there anybody? There's a handful of you. Some of you, this is your first time? Wow. If you were here last night, definitely get up and help me, okay? But go grab somebody, and here's what I want you to do before you go. Just listen. Introduce yourself. Ask them why they stood. If they say, man, I don't know, it's just like an arthritis all through my joints, it feels like it's shutting me down. Just pray a 6, 8, 10 second prayer. Don't try hard, don't get heady, don't amplify in Jesus' name. Just be sincere and believe he loves that person enough to send his son, die and raise him from the dead so they can have life. And here's something simple that you can do. Arthritis, you leave their body. Every pain, you go. And don't you ever come back again. In Jesus' name. Who knows, you can believe that sincerely and pray that in about 6, 8 seconds. Mm-hmm. Then you won't get self-conscious. You won't make it power in your prayer. It's power in his finished work. And you're just rightly representing his love and compassion. Fair enough? So you can't fail. I want you to help me. Raise your hands if you stood for prayer. Somebody's going to come to you in a second. We're not going to do it like we did last night. I'm just going to close the meeting out and let them pray for you. You have one response when you pray for. Father, thank you for loving me. I so appreciate what you're doing in my body. You can check your body. You can tell them how you're doing. If you feel a little better, pray one more time. Same way. Watch what happens. If you change, that's a no-brainer. God, thank you. If you're ever prayed for and feel no change, please don't get analytical and say, wow, I'm turning into a point in time. Wow, I don't know why God didn't heal. Wonder what I'm doing wrong. Wonder what's blocking my healing. Don't ever turn experience into truth. His life is truth. Jesus' life is the truth of God's will. So what happens is you say, you know what? Face the position of my heart. God, I thank you for what you're doing in me. I just appreciate you loving me, restoring me. Thank you for this person. I am with me. Because if you lay hands on the sick, they what?
Will recover.
Bam. So let's learn to stay in faith. Believe God through relationship. Let faith work through love. You with me?